Chapter 3. The druids were strange. Arthur could see where his father might have been unnerved enough by them to persecute them even without magic. They moved all as one unit, sometimes, like a flock of birds or a school of fish. And they rarely spoke, yet everyone seemed to know what everyone else was doing. He caught them more than once approaching one another, going about their business together as if their movements were choreographed, and then parting without exchanging a word. He, Alion, and Percival dismounted and walked their horses the rest of the way into camp. Everyone stared at him, and no one spoke. "We've come with peaceable intentions," said the prince. "I am Arthur Pendragon. My knight told me you were willing to speak with me." "We know who you are, Arthur Pendragon," said one finally, a woman with tattoos on her face and whose eyes seemed to see into Arthur's very soul. "Perhaps better than you know yourself." Arthur couldn't tell if that was a threat or not. He glanced sidelong at Alion, who only shrugged, and at Percival, who said, "They always talk that way." "You may call me Nesta," said the woman, and led them to an open canopy situated under a large oak tree. The children of the band followed them, staring until Nesta did something to make them go away. Arthur had no idea what. She simply looked up and into the eyes of the nearest child, and then they all turned and left. Like a flock of birds, again. There was not much room beneath the canopy, and it was mostly taken up by two threadbare cushions. Nesta took one. As Arthur sat on the other, Alion and Percival took up guard positions outside. "They have never seen a warrior band of Camelot that was not trying to harm them," she said, and Arthur winced. "Why have you come?" He was probably wasting their time, and endangering them besides, but he'd come this far. "I seek information on a prophecy that the druids are said to hold, about a sorcerer named Emrys." Unexpectedly, Nesta smiled, transforming her entire visage into something lovely and motherly. "We know him of whom you speak." "Is he even real?" "Oh, yes. We have awaited his coming for centuries, Arthur Pendragon. It is a singular honor, simply to be alive now that he walks among us." "Why?" Nesta tilted her head, studying him. "Yes," she said thoughtfully. Arthur frowned, since that wasn't an answer to his question, and she nodded as if reaching a decision. "Because you are asking, I think you are finally ready to hear. Ask what questions you will, and I will answer them to the best of my ability." Arthur took a deep breath. "What is it that makes Emrys so special?" he asked. "Why are you honored just to be alive at the same time as him?" "Those are two separate questions," she said, smiling again. "We are honored because we believe that the day will come when no man, woman, or child will live in fear, and it will be because of Emrys and the once and future king. Together they will unite Albion and usher in a golden age of peace and prosperity for all, and we now know that that time will come during our lifetimes." "You are so sure he exists?" "I have met him, Your Highness, and so have you." "I don't know what to think about that," said Arthur quietly. "A secret sorcerer. The only bit of prophecy I've been able to find suggests that he and the once and future king were allies." "You are more than that," said Nesta. "You are as brothers." Arthur blinked. "So I am the king described in the prophecy? Or I will be?" "Indeed. He would not have stayed in Camelot were it not for you, young king." "I am not king yet." "You will be." He could almost feel the weight of destiny settling on his shoulders. Or its jaws, perhaps, closing him in. "And I have a sorcerer who follows me about, in secret," he asked in agitation. "Doing what? Shaping me? Manipulating me to become the king the druids want?" Not at all, Nesta said, leaning forward in her seat. Emrys is a guide, a friend. He may have helped to shape the man that you have become, but only because you have chosen to listen to his advice. She sat back, but her gaze was still intense. And he protects you. With magic. Yes. Well, Merlin had described how that might be reasonable, at least. Still, I've always been told that magic is dangerous at best. It can be, young king. Magic is life. Nesta gestured to the trees around them. It is in all living things. Some places, some people have more of it. Just as a lake has more water than a forest. Or a forest has more trees than a field. And not all life is harmless, as you well know. But magic is like fire or your sword. It can be used to help or to harm, depending on the one who wields it. Arthur glanced up to where Percival stood on watch, with his back to them. It has also been suggested to me that some people gain magic without choosing it, and that it needs to be tamed. Ah, I see, said Nesta. That is correct. Some people have a gift for music, or a talent for, say, farming. Others have a natural tendency to be warriors. Then there are those who have the ability to wield magic. I was told that that gives them a predisposition toward evil. Nesta shook her head. Remember, magic is life. And like your own life, young king, magic can be directed by the mind or the heart. One who has magic, but has never studied it, is at risk of unleashing it in response to strong emotions. They must guard themselves carefully to prevent themselves from lashing out unintentionally. But surely you have known men who were ruled by their emotions, even without magic. Those who would lash out with fists or blade in response to their feelings, rather than controlling themselves and thinking things through. That was a more reasonable analogy than Arthur had been expecting. Then a druid would want magic to seem reasonable and harmless, wouldn't they? Except that Nesta wasn't trying to persuade him that it was. What about Emrys? He's supposed to be very powerful. Indeed. His magic came upon him in the womb, young king. He was never given a choice as to whether or not to study magic. He has had to guard himself his entire life. Arthur blinked. That doesn't seem possible. Nesta nodded. Emrys is unique. While magic may come to other people as they grow, only Emrys has ever been born with it. He is vastly powerful. The longer one studies, the more one can do with one's gifts, you see, and Emrys has practiced for his entire life. He hasn't had a choice not to. Emrys' gifts are great indeed, and he uses them to protect you. You said we were close, he said skeptically. Like brothers. That implies a degree of trust, on both sides. How am I supposed to trust someone who has kept such an enormous secret from me? Said Nesta. I want you to think of someone you trust. Arthur raised his eyebrow. Why? Humor me, young king, she said. Think of someone whom you trust, whom you care about, above all others. Someone whose loss would leave a hole in your life that could never be filled. He took a deep breath, letting it out slowly. Arthur wanted it to be one of his knights, but the first person to come to mind was Merlin. Not even Gwen. He loved her, but Merlin was a part of every moment of his life. They were inseparable. Arthur loved his father, too, and his loss would wound Arthur forever. But he couldn't honestly say that he trusted the king anymore, as much as it hurt to admit. No, it was Merlin. Are you thinking of someone? Asked Nesta. Yes. A friend? Yes. Nesta nodded, satisfied. Now, young king, imagine discovering that this friend is Emrys. Imagine him keeping that secret from you. Could you forgive him if he were revealed? The thought of it sent a pain through Arthur's chest. He would have lied to Arthur for years. Could Arthur even say he knew him? I don't know, he breathed. I don't think I could bring myself to punish him for it. Sorcery is still... But I wouldn't see him executed. I don't know if I could hate him, but... But it would hurt, and he had no idea how he might be able to regain the trust they'd once shared. You are as two sides of the same coin, said Nesta, and Arthur remembered that from the prophecy as well. Two halves of a whole. I do not think you could truly hate the one who completes you. But to have the trust broken, he said. Would it be broken? Emrys has saved your life many times, stood by you through the darkest hours of your life, sacrificed and suffered for you. Can you truly say you would not do the same for him, even if the hardship you face were simply knowledge of his true nature? Again, Arthur thought of Merlin. Thought of everything Merlin had done for him, and every ridiculous thing he'd done for Merlin in turn. Trying to imagine pushing Merlin away, cutting him out of Arthur's life out of anger or a sense of betrayal. That sent another pain through Arthur's chest, worse than the first one. He didn't answer her question, asking instead, You are certain I know Emrys already? Indeed, Your Highness. But you will not tell me who he is. Arthur had no doubt about that. We respect his wishes, said Nesta. We keep this one secret for him, because it is his desire. Then how will I know who he is, if he will not reveal himself? Nesta smiled again, motherly and kind. Perhaps you should speak with your friends. Tell them the druids have said that your asking these questions is a sign that you are ready to know the answers. She reached out, greatly daring, and caressed his face. But I think you already know who he is, in your heart. Your brother in all but blood. Arthur thought again of Merlin, and did not answer. The druids, despite their obvious poverty, insisted on showing hospitality to Arthur, Alion, and Percival, so it was a few hours before they were allowed to leave. Over half of the people there refused to eat meat. Arthur had no idea how they ever survived the winter. Peaceful the druids might be, but they were still strange. Thank you, Arthur said finally, for the meal and the answers to my questions. You are most welcome. There is much we would give to the once and future king. Arthur wasn't sure how to respond to that, the ponderous destiny uncomfortable for him to contemplate. Is there anything else you want to tell me before we part ways? He asked, swinging into the saddle. Looking for hints? Nesta laughed. Honestly? Yes. Very well then, she said, and stepped closer. She beckoned Arthur to lean down to hear her. Consider whom you would want Emrys to be, if you could choose. Arthur frowned. Prophecy doesn't work that way, does it? Not exactly, Nesta admitted. She tucked her hands into the sleeves of her robe. But you and he are fated to be together. And as I said, it is likely that your heart already knows the answer to your question. You already know Emrys, and you are his friend. If you give yourself time to ponder, the answer will reveal itself to you. He was quiet on the road back to Camelot, and quiet when they camped that night. Percival lit the fire and Alion tended to the horses, both of them sending concerned glances his way when they thought he wouldn't notice. Alion was the one to break first. Is everything all right, sire? Just thinking. Percival chuckled. Merlin would have something to say about that, if he were here. Alion joined in the laughter. That he would. Of course, unlike his manservant, his knights actually had enough decorum not to say it aloud, but they were probably all three thinking it. Be careful not to strain yourself, sire. Yes, yes, you're both hilarious. The two men grinned again, then settled down. I'm no Merlin, said Alion, but if anything is troubling you... No, it's nothing like that. Just thinking on what the druids told me. What did you discuss anyway? Arthur looked up at them both, confused. You were both standing right there. She must have wanted a private conversation, said Percival. We heard nothing. Arthur poked at the fire with his stick, considering. She said that the fact that I was asking the questions I was meant I was ready to hear the answers. About magic? Alien asked. Among other things. Arthur stared into the fire a little longer. About who Amrys is. You mentioned that name before, in the tavern, said Percival. A famous sorcerer, you said? Legendary, said Arthur. The druids are convinced he exists and is the answer to some of their prophecies. He tossed his stick onto the hot coals. Prophecies I am part of. He told them the rest of it, without going into too much detail. There was still much he needed to think on. You've been tracking him down since we rescued you and Merlin, observed Percival. It seems important, said Arthur, feeling a bit lame as he did. Percival nodded. Those bandits thought Merlin was a sorcerer. They did. You can't let a handful of sadistic thugs put suspicions into your head about one of your most loyal men, said Alien. What suspicions, though? Asked Percival. That he is a powerful ally? That he is an ally whom the law would nevertheless see dead, regardless of what he might have done for Arthur. Arthur shook his head. I am not my father, he said, and I've had cause to see that not all sorcery is evil. The two of you and Gwaine helped with that. Yes, but are you seriously considering that the bunch of bandits might be right? About Merlin? Bandits? No, of course not. Except that Nesta had asked him who he wanted this sorcerer's ally to be. You made it back in one piece, said Merlin, once you were home. You were sitting stiffly at Guy's work table, one hand on his ribs and the other picking at his dinner. You needn't sound so surprised. Merlin smiled. How were the druids? Strange, said Arthur, and Merlin's smile grew wider. Of course it did. Did you find any answers to your questions? Arthur sighed and sat down across from him. I'm not sure. Merlin waited him out, and finally he said, They told me I was finally ready to hear the answers to my questions. I think they're hoping I'll say something where this Amrys person can hear me, and he'll decide to reveal himself. Merlin popped a piece of fruit into his mouth. Would that be a bad thing if he did? Arthur shook his head, dragging one hand through his hair. I don't know. They seem to think I'm ready to know. I'm not so sure I am. Why not? Well, it's like you said, isn't it? Whoever this person is, they'll have been lying to me for years, pretending to be my friend. Not pretending, said Merlin. Arthur glared at him for interrupting, but he pressed on. Just hiding a part of himself. For it to be a friendship, for you and he to have anything like what you described from the prophecies, it has to be real. Just incomplete. And how am I supposed to forgive that? Arthur demanded. Maybe try to see it from his point of view, said Merlin quietly. He had a strange look on his face, not quite meeting Arthur's gaze. You already know why he would have had to hide his magic. Or at least, you probably know some of it. Arthur studied him quietly, watching as the silence made Merlin start to fidget. He thought of what Nesta had said, about how Arthur probably already knew who Amrys was, in his heart. How she had asked him whom he might have wanted Amrys to be, if you could pick. Thought of some of the insights Merlin had given him when they talked about it, how Merlin had had any sort of valuable insight in the first place, despite being only a servant. How Leon had said that Merlin would be the logical assumption for the bandits to identify as a sorcerer out of anyone in their group. How Merlin had been by his side for years now, getting under Arthur's skin from almost the very beginning, even when they couldn't stand one another. How Merlin had saved his life practically the day they'd met. It's you, isn't it? He said, not really asking, and watched as Merlin froze and grew a little pale. He swallowed hard, Arthur watching his Adam's apple bob up and down. Those bandits were actually right. Arthur wasn't sure he actually wanted an answer, but after a moment, Merlin pushed his plate back, still not meeting Arthur's eyes. "I wondered if you might figure it out," he said. His voice shook, and he swallowed again. Arthur took a deep breath, feeling a bit as if the floor had dropped out from beneath him. You're really a sorcerer." Merlin nodded. "Those bandits were trying to make you prove it," he said. And Merlin, as always, guessed what he was getting at. He held out a hand, palm up on the table, glanced up at Arthur, and then back down. He whispered something unintelligible, a long string of syllables in some foreign tongue that made the hair on the back of Arthur's neck stand on end. Then a globe shaped itself in Merlin's hand, glowing blue and swirling like fog. It was smaller than the one he remembered, but Arthur recognized it. "How? You were poisoned. How did you?" "I don't know," said Merlin. "A lot of what I do, I just do. Gaia said I seemed delirious, muttering in my sleep, talking to you as if I could see you. I don't remember." "You did something that helped me, from miles away, in your sleep, and you don't even..." Arthur stood and stepped away from the table, dragging his hands through his hair again. "I'm sorry to have upset you," said Merlin, "but I'm not sorry I did it. It helped you, right?" When Arthur nodded, he went on. "I'm not sorry I have magic, Arthur. I'm not. It's as much a part of me as breathing. I couldn't give it up without it killing me, I don't think." Arthur could believe that. Nesta had said Emrys was born with magic. He shook his head, starting to pace. "I need to think." "Of course. You... no one else is to know of this, you understand? No one. If my father..." "I understand, Arthur," he chuckled, a little bitterly. "Believe me, I understand." "Who else does know?" "Gaius? My mother?" "Probably a few druids, but they didn't hear it from me. I've never been able to tell anyone, except..." "Except?" "It doesn't matter," said Merlin. "They're all dead now." That did not sound promising. But then Arthur remembered how Nesta claimed Emrys had suffered and sacrificed on Arthur's behalf. He looked over at Merlin to see him staring at a table with faraway, sad eyes. "You're not scared of what I'll do?" Merlin looked up then, and one corner of his mouth quirked up. "Scared? Of you?" Arthur narrowed his eyes, and Merlin sobered. "You'll do what you have to do, I'm sure. But you won't get rid of me, Arthur. You won't be able to, even if you wanted to. I won't go. You have me till the day I die." Arthur didn't want to find that reassuring, given that he'd spent days preparing to be betrayed by whomever Emrys turned out to be. "We're supposed to be two sides of the same coin," he said, and Merlin grinned unexpectedly. "Heh. Yeah, I've heard that too. You've hidden a lot from me." Merlin nodded, sobering again. "I have, and I'm sorry for it. I've wanted to tell you, almost since the beginning." He shrugged a little. "I mean, not since the very beginning. I couldn't stand you at the very beginning." Arthur couldn't help the little huff of laughter. "And you say I'm the prat." "I never claimed I wasn't, just said you were worse." Arthur chuckled again, shaking his head, and Merlin smiled tentatively. "So what happens now?" Arthur sighed. "Like I said, I need to think." "Will you forgive me for keeping this from you?" Arthur sighed again and rolled his eyes, because of course Merlin would ask that. "Probably. But not yet. Everything we talked about, everything you suggested... Merlin, you've lied and hidden this from me for years. I feel like I hardly know you. I need time to come to terms with that." Merlin nodded, looking down at the table again. "That's fair, I suppose." He glanced back up and added, "I'll be here when you're ready. whenever you want to talk. One good thing about your broken ribs, I suppose, said Arthur. It's not like you can run and hide. Merlin smirked. Not yet, anyway. Guys would string both of us up if you ran and he thought it was my fault. He wouldn't string us up. He'd just make us test all his new experimental medicine for a month. Arthur shuddered. He would. They shared an amused look, and then Arthur thought of something. So if you really are the Druid's Amorous, and these bandits knew it, why wouldn't you just reveal yourself? You could have saved yourself a lot of... He gestured, taking in all of Merlin's injuries. A lot of pain. Merlin shrugged. I wasn't sure what they would do to you, if they knew. They might have threatened you to make me do what they wanted, or just killed you. I couldn't let that happen. Arthur blinked. You went through all that in order to protect me? Days of torture. For him. Arthur had no idea how to feel about that. Borrowed, grateful, humbled, angry. A little of all of it. It's always to protect you, Arthur. You or Camelot. Everything I've ever done. All of it. He closed his eyes. Even the mistakes I've made. Things I've regretted. I did them for you. Arthur shook his head again and took a deep breath. As I said, I need to think. You get some rest or something and be ready to talk when I come back. Of course, sire, said Merlin, and for once, Arthur thought he actually meant it. Two men, brothers in all but blood. Two sides of one coin, inseparable. The greatest king ever to live, and the greatest sorcerer of this or any age, allied as one heart, with one goal, peace for Albion, and freedom for her people. Arthur scanned the little scrap of parchment on which he'd copied the prophecy, before tucking it under some papers and shutting it in his desk drawer. He didn't want to forgive Merlin, but as he'd said, he already had the feeling that he probably would, eventually. The thought of hearing Merlin talk about what he could possibly have done as a sorcerer that he might regret filled Arthur with dread, yet he still couldn't imagine himself hating the other man. I do not think you could truly hate the one who completes you, Nesta had said. Who did Arthur want Amorous to be? Arthur had to admit, if it could have been anyone, he would have picked Merlin. Brothers in all but blood, the prophecy had said. Inseparable. Well, they certainly were that. He could admit that Merlin had helped make him the person he was today, and he could even grudgingly admit that he didn't resent it. It certainly hadn't seemed as if Merlin were manipulating him. Maybe they would be okay. The end.